Avi Adoni Dodi. We enter into this study to draw close to you for the sake of holy service and the fulfillment of your will for us and for all of Israel and for this entire planet. Please assist our efforts and guide our understandings. Let us internalize your Torah to the depths of our being so that we become transformed by your will and its truths. Let neither ourselves nor anyone else come into stumbling as a result of this study. Ga'enai va'abita nifla'ot mitoratecha. Okay, so this is the mitzvah of tochacha, which is the mitzvah of rebuke, and it comes from the same verse as the mitzvah of lo tisna, not to hate your neighbor in your heart, or your countrymen in your heart. And so the full pasuk goes, lo tisne et achicha bilvavecha, hokiach tachiach et amitecha, velo tisa alav chet. You shall not hate your fellow men in your heart. You shall hokiach tachiach, you shall surely rebuke your fellow men or sister, and you should not bear sin on account of him. So there's this link in some sense between you should rebuke and not bear sin. So that linkage is interpreted in two ways. One is that if you see someone, which we're going to read, but if you see someone doing something that is wrong, we'll have to figure out what that is and further on, but wrong. So you have an obligation to kind of protest or to kind of inform that person. And if you don't, then you're kind of like a little bit then considered an accomplice in the matter. And so you bear sin on their account. That's one way that it's interpreted. Another way that it's interpreted is that you should, like we talked about with like not hating your neighbor in your heart. And so you need to speak with them about it, which could be in the form of rebuke, but you need to convey that they've hurt you or they've done something that is like, it's also a mitzvah, which the next chapter after this is to not harm someone with words. So by telling the person what they did, you are relieving yourself of fulfilling the prohibition of not hating your neighbor in your heart, because you haven't kept it in your heart, you've shared it with them. So those are the two ways that the link between the phrase, you shall not hate your neighbor in your heart, you shall rebuke him in order that you not bear sin on account of him. So that's the verse that holds the mitzvah that we're about to study.
So it seems like this also relates to the parsha. I don't know if it's the current or recent anyway, when Jacob encounters Esau and he's afraid that Esau try to kill him, and they have a cordial meeting, I guess. I don't know if that's the right word.
Meaning anyway, they hug each other and kiss, so to speak.
Yeah.
Right.
And there's this whole like build up to it that he's, you know, so afraid that it won't happen that way. But we know there are reasons for that. So anyway.
But there's no rebuke there. I mean, it's not, there's no, yeah.
Right, but I'm just saying that sort of the buildup to the, you know, to the encounter was that he feared for his life because of
right
how he wronged his brother before and so forth.
Right. Okay, so, and I edited this chapter down a bit, so we're not going to do every single paragraph, but We're going to start off doing most of them. Let's see, I just want to bring mine up. Okay. So Hilchot Tochacha. And it kind of, the way the chapter proceeds, you know, it seems like it's saying one thing or requiring one thing, and then it really kind of goes through a lot of changes as we move through the chapter. Haroe chavero shechata o shehalach b'derech lo tova mitzvah lahagziru lemutav ulahodiu shehu chota al atzmo b'maasav haraim shenamar hokeach tochiach et amitecha. Okay, so if you see a friend, and we're going to have to figure out what a friend is, which it's not going to really define until much later on. But if you see a friend who is sinning, so to speak, who is literally sinning, who is doing something that is contrary to Torah and or other, o shahalach b'derech lo tova, or just basically just doing something that's not good for a soul, for whatever, to another person, whatever. Mitzvah lahagziru lemutav. You're obligated to try to turn them back towards the good road, the high road. V'lohodio shehu chota al atzmo b'ma'asav haraim, and to kind of convey to the person that they're really, the damage that they're doing through this act is really to their own soul. They're really harming themselves by this behavior. Shenemar hokeach tochiach et amitecha. Because and why should you do that, or take the trouble to do that, or take the chutzpah to do that, is because there is an obligation in the Torah to do so. Behine hamitzvah hazot nisgav ad meod, and it's a big deal, this mitzvah. Vahu novea mi mitzvat ahavat Yisrael, because it's really kind of a perspective on or an application of the mitzvah that Hillel says is the primary mitzvah of the Torah, which is the mitzvah of loving, of ahavat Yisrael, of loving every person of Israel. And if you love someone, then you want the best for them. And you're seeing that they're doing things that are going to cause them harm. And so the mitzvah of rebuke applies. De kafishi yeshla adam ahavala.
Sorry, Z, can you share screen?
Oh, yes. Sorry about that. Okay, let's see. Okay, so we're right here.
Can I just ask a quick thing?
Yeah.
So when you said that was Hillel's central message, to love all Jews.
Or to love your neighbor as yourself.
Well, right.
Mm-hmm.
But what you just said was to love, that you should love all Jews.
Well, that's what he's saying here. It's Ahavat Yisrael.
Okay. Yeah. So that's how he's interpreting it. Okay. Thanks.
De kafi sheyesh la adam ahava lechavero, and since there is to a person does love their friend, and there's an obligation to love their friend, kein yishkod al tikuno. So then there is, like, as an extension of that, there is, it is appropriate for them to kind of be concerned about the friend's spiritual well-being and to speak up if there's something that is concerning. We'll see that there's many qualifications here, because it's a very delicate business. This mitzvah of rebuke is so delicate that the qualifications that he gives in the course of the chapter are going to almost make it impossible to fulfill the mitzvah. But anyway, so but it's, so we're going to like absorb the spirit of it and then also the qualifications. Vehine ikar chiyut ha'adam ba'olam hazeh hu kedei letaken midotav v'drachav. Because really, like, we're all agreed, which is interesting, this assumption, but we're all agreed that the most essential point of life, of human life, of our life in the in this world, is in order to become a better person, letaken midotav, to try to become a mensch, and to letaken midotav, to try to become a mensch and to kind of find our way to you know, to the high road, to live a good life, meaning to be a cause of good in the world, that our life should be a cause of good in the world. V'ha'ohev chaveiro v'shoked al tikuno ya'azrenu, l'kayim ikar tafkido ba'olam. And so the affection or love that we feel towards our friends and our concern for their well-being and in particular their spiritual well-being, so that means, you know, help, doing what we can and being available to help them to fulfill their mission in the world. You know, that's kind of what a friend does, is help their friend out, help each other out. Tafkido ba'ol, and but here he's more talking about it, not like helping the person do their move from one house to another or whatever, that kind of friendship, but really to help them ikar tafkido ba'olam, to be able to fulfill their mission and their soul mission in the world. Va'od yoter mize, and even more than this, shemitzvah ha-tochacha noveah mi-mitzvat ahavat Hashem yibarach. And really this mitzvah, like, why is it so important? On one hand, it's kind of connected to the mitzvah of v'ahavta l'recha kamocha, loving your neighbor as yourself. But it's also a fulfillment of the mitzvah of love and obligation of loving Hashem. Like, it also derives from the mitzvah of ahavat Hashem yibarach, of loving Hashem. Kamosha katav Rabbeinu Yonah, like Rabbeinu Yonah says, and it brings this mashal. I don't think we need to read the rest of this section, but it's basically saying that, you know, Hashem brought us here for a purpose, and we are just like we're dedicated and committed to accomplishing our own, figuring out what we're designed to do and trying to make it happen. So our love of our, you know, of friends and community means that we also are, when we're in a position to help each other out, we should. And in part, that includes the responsibility of tochacha, that if it is effective rebuke and it kind of turns things around, then it's good for everybody involved. It's good for the person. It's good for Hashem. It's good for the community. And it's good for the rebuker. So it's a win-win all around. Okay, so I'm going to go to two. Does anyone want to say anything about that before I move on? Okay.
Can so, I just, what, yeah. What is the translation of the word tochacha?
Rebuke.
Okay, thanks. Mm-hmm. I think you said that, sorry. Mm-hmm.
So this brings to mind a personal experience. Shortly after our mother passed away, when I was with my sister after she had passed away, she was well, I said something to her in response to something that she said. I was kind of, I was trying to kind of shake her spirits, I guess you would say, because she was, you know, very emotional, and but it, you know, to the point where it was not helpful. And I'm not expressing this very well, but anyway, I said something to her that was sort of the equivalent of a slap in the face, which I didn't do and would never do to her. But and later on, I apologized, you know, before Yom Kippur, but I think it was maybe a couple years later. And she didn't even remember that I had said that to her. Mm-hmm. So, not that that makes it okay, but mm-hmm. I can just relate to the, you know, extreme emotional state, you know, that mm-hmm. I reacted just kind of from mm-hmm. my gut, I guess you'd say.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, well, it's going to give us some qualifiers to see whether that was a good thing, or you'll have to reflect on it and see whether you meet the qualifications here.
Okay.
It's going to be now. So, Bet, Tzarich lehochicho beino levein atzmo. So the first qualification is that it needs to be a private encounter. It's not in, you know, you don't rebuke someone when someone else is looking on. It needs to be a private encounter. Vayidaber lo benachat ubalashon rakah. And you have to speak. It has to be delivered in a kind way with soft words. She'eno omer ela letovato ulahavio lechayel maba, and to like make it clear that you're only doing this because you care about them, because you love them, and it's and you really believe that it's for their own good and soul's good and all that. Va'asur ledaber lo kashot, and it's forbidden to speak harshly, to use harsh words, to be like kind of in an aggressive way, or ad sheyachlimu yachlimenu shenamar lo tisa alav chet, and to do it in a way that will cause them to be shamed, like you don't shame a person. Like the point of rebuke is not to shame them. And we're going to see that if you can't rebuke without shaming, then you don't rebuke. Zesha Marnu should tzarich ledaber belashon raka. And this that we're saying, that you need to use soft language and, you know, kind of like kind energy, not finger pointing, judgmental energy, but kind energy. Hu leikuva. That is not just a secondary thing. That is the prime, like the mitzvah itself. Basic definition of rebuke is that it needs to be in a soft delivery. Shahare devarim kashim enam nishma'im, because it's a given. It's known that if you are confronting a person in a judging way and a hard way and a finger pointing way and a shaming way, they're not going to accept what you say. It's the, you know, psychology 101. And so you're not doing rebuke. If that's how you're talking to them, you're not rebuking them, because rebuke is to kind of have an impact that's going to make them receptive in order to change up their, you know, up their ante, so to speak. So ve'im ein tiv'o b'shum ofen l'daber rakot patur hu me lahokiach. And that if you're just the type of person that you just can't do it, like you don't have what it, like your person, you're just a different kind of personality, and you are going to, or like, you know, some people's voices are just harsher rather than softer. if you're of that sort, then patur, then you are the, then you, you're the obligation to give rebuke does not apply to you. You're patur. The Torah releases you from
that's
the
hilarious.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it's really interesting.
You do have to be self, I mean, it is kind of putting self-awareness before the, like, any mitzvah has to have self-awareness first. So it means that you have to be aware of who you are and then go at it.
Right.
And like, and some people just aren't cut out for it.
Right. That's what he's going to, that's what he's saying. Some people just are not cut out for it. And he's going to talk about that self-awareness, actually.
I would just, for the, later on, I am wondering, the word rebuke kind of implies a harsh dressing down. Uh-huh. And I'm curious if tochacha actually translates rebuke rather than correct or something that's gentler.
Uh-huh. There is, let's see, Rambam says, what does it go? Tochacha. Toch. Toch. Betoch, right. Toch, right. So tochacha is taf vav chaf chet, and then it also has a hey. Tocheak, though, is the command is tocheak, which is taf vav chaf chet. So Rambam says it needs to be toch, which means chaf vav, which is 26, which is Hashem. I don't know, there's something like, so it, so the core of your motivation and energy to give tochacha is, and it's not so, no, I don't
know. No, actually that's helpful. That is helpful. I love that. I do. I get it. And it's similar to what Elle was saying. Uh-huh. You know, it's like you have to have that self-awareness and Hashem awareness before you speak.
Uh-huh. Right, right, right. I'm
muting
myself.
Can you, where's the word rebuke? I've lost us in the text. Which,
well,
what is
no,
it?
I just went to the title here. The title is Tochacha. Hilchot, the laws of Tochacha, Tav Vav Chav Chet Hey, which is rebuke.
Wrong. I'm sorry. Patur. You are exempt. I'm sorry.
Let's see. Here, on Gimel, the second line, third line from the end, that b'shum ofen, like, let's see, im ein tivo, b'shum ofen l'deber rakot, if it's just not going to happen that you can speak softly like that, patur hu mela hochiach. You are relieved of the duty to rebuke. Okay, so now we're on to Dalet. Hamokiach et chavero belashon kashe adsha haklimo. And if a person doesn't, you know, like kind of didn't really check in first and just, you know, stepped into rebuke, but did it in a harsh way, in a judging way, until they actually did cause the person shame, not only did they not fulfill the mitzvah of rebuke, but over belav shenamar v'lo tisa alav chet. It's they've actually now have earned themselves a demerit. They've actually violated a mitzvah of the Torah, which is do not bear sin on his count, meaning that that was a part of the verse that we read. You shall not hate your neighbor in your heart. You shall rebuke him, her. How does it go? You should not neighbor your neighbor in your heart. You shall rebuke him or her, and not bear sin on their account. So if you do not rebuke properly, then you actually cause a person to become, you can cause a person to become more entrenched in their but really it's more it's more this, the mitzvah that we're going to learn in the next chapter, which is there is a mitzvah of ona'at devarim, hona'at devarim, which is the prohibition of not hurting someone with words, like not bullying, so to speak, and insulting and shaming. Hamochiach et chaveiro b'lashon kashe. Oh, that's what we just did. Lo tisa alav chet. V'hine rov b'nei Adam mit bayashim k'tzat k'she omrim lahem shechatu. Now, most of the people in the world, like, what does it mean you shouldn't cause them shame? Because most people, if you point out something that they're doing wrong or bad, they are going to feel some shame around that. So, va'afal pi kein mitzvah haTorah hu lehochiach, and even though that is inevitable to some degree, nevertheless mikomakom tzarik va'amru ba'ofen. Nevertheless, you need to give it that amount of discomfort that will be caused to the person who's the recipient of the rebuke is acceptable, and you should still speak with them. Let's see, wait a minute, where is it? But you should definitely, like, really think about it and find a way to approach them that would minimize any shame that they might feel, to try to find a way to phrase or, you know, kind of approach them that will be minimally shaming.
Are we talking about unsolicited feedback here?
Yes. But we're talking about,
it's also so tricky.
I know. And he's going to really qualify. I mean, we already have a lot of qualifications and they're going to get more. But it also applies to, like, the previous situation of not hating your neighbor in your heart. You feel hurt by them. You feel like they wronged you in a certain way. And so it also has to do with that kind of trying to process that situation and to let them know that they, that you feel hurt by them or you feel wronged by them.
So what if you are the recipient?
He's going to talk about that at the end. He's going
to okay, stand by.
Yeah.
Wait, but you don't have to say something like, so what you're saying is that it has to do with the piece that we're learning before about hating also, your heart.
Not only.
But if you can't give the feedback in a way, like if it's going to sound judgmental, then you don't have to, because you just couldn't deliver it.
Right, because it's going to not accomplish any. It's not going to accomplish the point of the mitzvah. Yeah. Let's see. I do you see this? It's underlined here. I can't remember what it says, but I think I underlined it because I wanted us to do it. So I'm going to read that underlined part on the footnote here. Shemaseh mitzvah hu ledaber lo benachat ubelashon rakah. So the mitzvah itself, the performance of the mitzvah, requires that a person speak softly and you know, with gentle words. Venim sa shezeha dibur belashon kashe. And therefore, if a person knows that they're going to speak harshly, lo ase mitzvah klal. If a person does end up speaking harshly, then in their rebuke, then they have not done the mitzvah. Like, they have not done the mitzvah of rebuke, even though they think they have, and they've kind of spoken to the person and delivered their rebuke, but they have not fulfilled the mitzvah of rebuke. Lama ha-devar domeh, what's it like? Lami shalo haya, it's funny. Shami shalo haya lo etrog, v'lekach tapuach, and bimkom etrog. So it's compared to someone who is wanting to fill the arba minim on Sukkot and can't find a etrog, so he took an orange instead. Shelo asa klum. He has not fulfilled the mitzvah of arba minim. It doesn't matter that he has some kind of substitute there. It's not the mitzvah. Vahaka nami, and this exactly is hamokiach belashon kashe lo asa klum. Someone who delivers rebuke and they don't do it in the most gentle way possible has not delivered rebuke. They have not fulfilled this mitzvah of rebuke.
So, excuse me, I'm getting back to that, still thinking about that situation with my sister, and I was not consciously doing anything. I was sort of reacting in the moment, you know, and I was also feeling very emotional myself. And what she was saying was, like I said, not just not helping, but felt like it was making it worse, what we were dealing with. So, but again, that's a family situation. And I know we talked before about sometimes that's considered a different circumstance.
I'm going to say a lot more about it. So let's just.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. So wait, so here we are. Mikol makom sarikla amruba ofen shi. Right. So in a situation where we know that there anyway, like even in the best delivered rebuke, there's going to be some measure of shame that the person, if they're sensitive, is going to feel. And nevertheless, that is an acceptable measure. And as long as the person does it, but often sheyitrabu, they do it so that it doesn't increase shame or cause an excessive amount of shame. V'niklabze she'im yitbayesh me'ruven hamochicho yoter me'shimon hamochicho she'yaniach ruven l'shimon l'hochiach. So it's describing a situation where maybe two people, two friends, are witnessing something in a third friend, and they feel like they need to say something, and so they should decide who is likely to cause the least amount of discomfort. Like there's like person A is the quote transgressor, and person B and C are friends who have talked among themselves and are feeling like they need to address the situation. So that person B and C have to decide who among them is the least likely to cause embarrassment to person A. And they're the ones that should deliver the rebuke. Ve'im eno yodea lehochiach mibli she'ya'alev hanidon ein lehochiach. And if a person cannot think of any way to convey the message that they're wanting to convey, then without causing the person disgrace, then they should not say anything. Ein lehochiach, they should not say anything. V'nimsa de lemase, ein la adam lehochiach ela im kein Omru belashon maka ubelashon kavod umishaer shelefiha adam hamiduber yitkablu hadvarim mibli sheyitbayesh bioter. So he's kind of listing the whole thing, summarizing the whole thing here, that if a person doesn't know, let's see, imen. That's what I read. Okay. Venimsa. So therefore the bottom line is de lamase, that in practice, that a person should not attempt rebuke except if they say it belashon raka with a soft voice, belashon kavod, in a way that really maintains the dignity and honor of the person to whom they are addressing. Umishaer, and before the fact, they do believe, and when they kind of do the, you know, in their head, the rehearsal, so to speak, of what they're going to say and how it's going to go, they imagine shelefiha adam hamiduber, that person will be able to receive these words from them, like receive the rebuke without being yit ba'yesh b'yoter, excessively shamed. Okay, okay. Vezesha amarnu shetzarich lahochicho beseter. And so for this reason, so, and we've said that another criteria is that this rebuke be delivered privately. Hainu dafka im na'asta ba'aveira beseter. And this applies really kind of at all times, but especially when the avera itself, if you're doing it on the spot, that when the avera itself is private, just between the two of them. Aval im na'asta b'farhesia, but if the person is doing something in public that need, that you feel like you need to respond to with rebuke, v'yesh chilu shem shamayim b'davar, and it's urgent, meaning that it needs to be stopped right on the spot because there is a chilul Hashem, like a desecration of Hashem's name that is happening, like someone who's kind of wearing their religious garb is maybe like saying some racist statement, you know, or whatever, something that is like not befitting of a Torah representative, then at that
point, excellent example.
then it's appropriate in that instance to address the situation right there and then, even though it will be a public rebuke, but you're doing it to protect the honor of the Torah and not, you know, the person's personal interest becomes secondary in that moment. Chayav lehochicho miyad, you're obligated to say something there on the spot. Kadesha lo yidchalel shem shamayim, in order that there not be a desecration of Hashem's name. Va'afal pi kain, yizaher me'od ledaber b'lashon raka, k'kol ha'efshari. But even so, even in the heat of the moment, there still is, the rebuker does need to try to find a way to speak gently but firmly to address the situation, kadesha lo yit bayesh, in order to minimize the shame of the person who's being confronted. Ein danim. So right, there's another mitzvah of Dani, which is called Dan Lachaf Schut, which is to judge a person to the side of merit, like to try to find a way to frame and interpret a person's behavior that makes it okay. And so he's, which is kind of a whole different headset and process than the mitzvah of rebuke. And so how do these two fit together? So that's what he's addressing now. Ein danin l'chaf schut b'tochacha, that when you are delivering tochacha and deciding to deliver tochacha, you're letting go, and it's okay to let go of, but you must let go of the attempt to judge a person to the side of merit, because if you judge them to the side of merit, there'd be nothing to rebuke. So you, the judging to the side of merit gets pushed aside and you kind of address the situation. V'lechein imra'a devar avera. And so if a person sees someone else, you know, doing a serious avera, sin, umistaber shebe'emet yeshkan avera, and a person is quite clear that this is not okay. There is some, you know, real misdeed happening, maybe a theft or something like that.
A person is obligated to address the situation with rebuke, gentle words.
And if you decide, for whatever reasons, not to, like plan A is to address the situation and to kind of try to prevent or to confront the person with the misdeed. But if you decide not to do that, then the obligation of judging them to the side of merit clicks in, and you should then, you put yourself in a position where you need to try to find a way to interpret their behavior in a way that is as positive as possible. Ve'im hu talmid chacham sha'avar avera pamachad b'layla ein leharher acharav biyom u'bevadai asa tshuva af al pi kein b'davar shebamamon sarich lehashgiach shehamamon yukzar leba'alav. This is kind of interesting. So there is this qualification, which he's going to actually qualify the qualification. But there is a saying that if you see someone who's a Talmid Chacham, like a true Tzaddik, Talmud, Torah scholar, doing something wrong, like seemingly like in a restaurant eating non-kosher food or something like that. So you should assume that if they're a Torah scholar, they have a certain kind of moral compass or integrity. And so you assume that if they, here it is, sha'avar avera b'pam achad, you see them in the restaurant at night eating non-kosher food, You should assume the best for them, that for sure they're going to do tshuva, their conscience is going to click back in, and for sure they're going to do tshuva, and so you don't need to rebuke them. That's the Talmud says that, written by Talmidei Chachamim. So va'afal pi kein, but even so, if the issue that you see, this, I think this is very interesting, really, and I verified it with the original source, that if that Talmid Chacham that you see doing something wrong, if the thing that was wrong was somehow like some irregularity regarding money, like something wasn't straight with on a money level, Kesef level, Bedavar Shebamamon, then you do, whether it's a Talmid Chacham, whether it's not, you do need to lahashgiach, you need to get involved, and you need to make sure that that money ends up where it's supposed to be. Presumably because, money disappears quickly and then you can't squeeze water out of a dry well. So
I also think whoever who wrote that,
the Talmud
whoever in the Talmud mentioned that, I think was also in the back of his mind thinking about the historical anti-Semitism. In other words, there are certain things that are going to go public mm-hmm. and put a bad face on the mm-hmm. Jews.
Mm-hmm.
And so certain things, like, you know, you stole money or who knows what, but something about money and whatnot is the very kind of thing that will set off anti-Semitic, you know, action.
Interesting. Because he's really primarily talking about between Jews and Jews here, but I hear what you're saying. Yeah.
Right. It doesn't really, word gets out.
Yeah. And also, if you do it here, you're going to for sure do it there.
Yeah. And so somebody could just say, I told you so.
Yeah. Right.
And the rest is pretty negative.
Mm-hmm. And he ends, and this is the thing, is that like it might have been true in the old days that someone who was, it was a rare, like a Talmud scholar was really, truly more trustworthy in a big way, like that you could really say such a thing. But here he's defining a Talmid Chacham, because there are many people now, like in Israel, a person who's like studies Torah day and night is kind of a dime a dozen here, you know, like that's the industry here in Israel is Torah study. And so, and not everyone really has their Torah study doesn't necessarily translate into their, you know, character. And it's a problem. It's actually very painful. So a Talmid Chacham is someone who's le'inyan zeh, who Chacham b'Torah, he really is a Chacham, like has acquired wisdom, not just Torah knowledge, but wisdom. Ve'yirechet harbe, and he is known for being very, very careful in his mitzvah practice, and in particular, his mitzvot bein Adam l'chavero, his mitzvot bein fellow man and fellow man, harbe. Shenizhar al kala ke b'chuma, and he is as careful for, like the what you look at his life and you see that he's as careful, or she is as careful about small matters, like small trivial matters, as significant matters in terms of a mitzvah is a mitzvah. And even if it's a little mitzvah, it's a person that is known for being careful about them. And that's a rare, that's kind of rare, sadly to say. Okay, wait, let me just see. Did I say we should do chet, or should we skip chet? No, chet was a check. Okay.
Point of that was that the someone who's a Talmid Chacham at that level, if they're rebuking it, if something happens at night, you let it go during the day, except if it has to do with money.
Yes. Yeah. So chet. Hochicho. Hochicho velo kiblu mimenu. So let's say you say something to someone, you kind of confront a situation, you do it right and private and softly and with as much kavod, and the person does not accept the, you know, your rebuke. Kozman shemisha'er sheyesh efsharut sheyikabel mimenu chayav lachzor ulahochicho. And as long as you think that there is hope, that somehow that there really is the possibility of that person, maybe if you say it this way instead of that way, or give a different kind of example or whatever, that maybe that person will eventually will take it in, then you're obligated to try again. Ubalashon raka, and to do it with gentle words, va filu pam shniya va shlishit ad la olam, and another time and another time, as long as you really do think that that person would be receptive. Kas hanidon achahu karov laha koto osha kalalo va'amar eneni shomea patur me lahokiach od. If the person gets angry, or the person, gets so agitated that you think they might even hit you, or curse you, or they say, "I'm not listening to you. I don't want to hear another word," then you are patur me lahochicho, that you're relieved of the obligation of rebuke. V'lo od elisha az mitzvato lishtok. And not just that you're relieved of the obligation, but that actually you have a new obligation, which is to shut up, to be quiet, and to not say another word about it. And concerning this, it says, "Al tocheach leitz pen yisan echa," because it says, "Don't rebuke a scorner, because they will come to hate you." And so because it's a obligation for them not to hate their neighbor, so you are caught, but you, by causing them to hate you, are causing them to violate the mitzvah of don't hate your neighbor in your heart.
Serious. Hilarious, like the way that, like, it's like damned if you do, damned if you don't. Like, a lot of this piece is like really catch 22s.
Yeah, it's a tightrope, really. Yeah. Va'al ze amru chachamim kashem shemitzvah lomar davar hanishma kach mitzvah shelo lomar davar she'eno nishma. Just like the chachamim, the sages say, that in the same way that it's a mitzvah to say things that will be heard, it's equally a mitzvah to not say things that won't be heard. Okay, so I'm going to skip this cat because it gets a little repetitious.
So I'm sorry, can you back up to the last, when you said don't rebuke a scorner?
Yeah.
What? It
because
means
they will come to hate you.
And yeah, I got that. Uh-huh. But who is a scorner?
Someone who really doesn't the whole thing started with a premise that we want to be a good person. We want to be a mensch. The Torah is on some level our guide to, you know, kind of righteous behavior, and right. We take that seriously. And so that's someone who is scornful of that. It's like, oh, you did better. You're, you know, yeah.
Got it.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks.
Let's see. Okay, you're. Okay, and then the line is now. Okay. So Yud. Ve'im misha'er shebavadai. Lo to'il tochacha. And if you assess the situation and you're pretty clear that your tochacha, that your rebuke is not going to get anywhere, go anywhere, az mishtaneh din, then the obligation, then you kind of on a dime, you're in a new, like the mitzvah of the moment switches. V'ketzad misha'er zeh. And how do you, like, this is what you were saying earlier, like, but how do you make that assessment? Like, how do you, you know, kagonsha machir bo ba'ofen ishi shelo yikabel, that it's just a very personal assessment that a person makir, like senses, but knows, recognizes, ba'ofen ishi, in a very personal way, and on a personal level, shelo yikabel, that this is not going to go anywhere. O kagon shehu oches bakula neged hadin mipnei shezeh minhag chug ploni she hora lehem eze kal dad, or that, like, kind of, this is more not so much in your world, but kind of in a world where you know that there is kind of accustomed to take this particular mitzvah lightly, and so people will feel justified halachically. Well, my Rav says, but, you know, so your Rav says that, but my Rav says this. And so they feel like they're kind of covered halachically. And so anything that, call Masha Tomer Lahem, anything that you say to them, Shehu Asor, that this is not okay, Yomru Shazei Rak Chumra, that yours is just an added stringency, and it's not really required by the basic law. V'mida Chasidut, it's, you know, you have every right to choose a more stringent path, but I have a right not to choose that path, and so I feel perfectly fine doing what I'm doing. So he's saying that that's a situation where it's pretty clear that they're not going to accept your rebuke. So sometimes that might be the case. Other times it's just an inner feel and sensibility. Now I want to read just one of the lines in this next paragraph, which is Amrinam. And so when you're kind of making these assessments, there's also another, in terms of rebuke, so there's also another factor that needs to be considered, which is that there are two terms for like kind of the intention or the state of a kind of wrongdoer. One is called mezid and one is called shogeg. So mezid is someone who knows what's right and knows what's wrong and knows what the Torah has to say about things and doesn't care. They're just, I don't care. I'm going to do what I want to do. And shogeg is where a person is doing something and it's because they don't know better. Either they don't know better or it was an accidental mistake. They know better, but they, you know, kind of leaned against the wall and turned the light off on Shabbat or whatever. So there is a danger in rebuking someone who is currently in the status of shogeg, meaning they're doing something, they think it's right, they don't know that there's a problem with it, and so their accountability and liability is minimal. Whereas if you rebuke them and they're not going to listen to your rebuke, then you have put them into another category, which is the category of mazy. Now they know it's not right, and they're actively choosing not to follow that obligation. And so now they've entered a whole different accountability, you know, in terms of the you know, before God, so to speak. And so it's a very delicate matter. That's another factor that you need to consider in deciding whether to confront something like a problem, a wrongdoing that...
Oh man, that's a serious consideration.
It is. It really is. I mean, serious.
It's why you can't ask a Shayla of a Rav unless you really want the answer.
Right.
Is it, should we hold off and let you go forward a little bit more? Or is it time for a couple questions or thoughts?
No, we can do questions and thoughts that people have.
Yeah. Okay, because I want to let you go all the way to we your only natural have, conclusion.
The truth is, there's only two more, but it's okay. We can do them next week.
I'm happy to hold off till next week.
Next week is Hanukkah. No, I think they're like that because it's going to get into the thing, which is a whole thing that we'll need to discuss, which is how to receive rebuke. All this so far has been how to give rebuke. And as Bhatia raised, there's also the matter of how to receive rebuke. And so, yeah. But I just want to look at a calendar because I don't think I thought I would be able to meet on Hanukkah, but I don't think I'm going to be able to.
Okay. When would be the next date?
Let's see, wait a minute. Right, so next Sunday night and Monday is Hanukkah, and I think it's 2 weeks on Sunday.
Oh, no, yeah, the following one also.
Let's see, wait a minute. Somehow. Right, and the following one is Rosh Chodesh. Right, so we're gonna be off for 2 weeks. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we resume on which day then?
Oh, I just closed the calendar.
I think the 19th. That's right. I think I have it.
The 12th. The 12th.
Yeah. December 12th. Okay, great.
Yeah, so who, anybody have anything to say or comment?
I am so thankful that we're going through this material because it's reminding me and kind of, it's reminding me of just how delicate we all are. I know I am when I've done something wrong, uh-huh. No matter, and I'm always grateful to have somebody point it out, but no matter how delicately they point it out, there's always this flood of shame.
Right.
And no matter, yeah. So I'm reminded of, and I don't know if there's more discussion on this elsewhere, but to have somebody rebuke my action and not my personhood, mm-hmm. to isolate the action and not rebuke me as a person. I find also that it's helpful if there's passage of time, mm-hmm. because then that's obvious, right?
Between the time that you did the wrongdoing and the time the person speaks to you about it, is that what you mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, if possible, because I'm more able to hear something after some time has passed rather than if it's right close. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, you know, in some cases you can't. You have to act immediately as the sources were pointing out. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is a couple of the thoughts are, and I think you touched on this as well, to always give the person or give me the benefit of the doubt. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes there's the assumption of intended wrong, mm-hmm. But to, you know, always be gracious enough to allow for benefit of the doubt.
Right.
That maybe the person truly wasn't aware and therefore to like all the more soften the rebuke. Uh-huh. And then lastly, I always, for me, because sometimes, as you pointed out, somebody's physical voice can speak more harshly than they intend. Mm-hmm. I find it helpful sometimes for rebukes to be written out rather than mm-hmm. Spoken, mm-hmm. because the writing of it kind of forces me to really carefully mm-hmm. construct what I'm going to say, you know, rather than just blurt something out.
Right. Those are good. And I think also like the time thing that you mentioned, I think that that also helps the person who's giving the rebuke to like kind of chill out in order, like yeah. not in the fire of the situation. And I think that also.
100%. I know for sure that's true of me. Yeah. Uh-huh. But thank you. I'm loving this material. Loving it.
Yeah. Anybody else have anything they want to say, share, ask, comment?
I wish this material wasn't so useful.
Well, from last week, Al, I think you come by it innocently because it sounds like it was your home as loving as it may have been, people were quick and sharp tongued.
Yeah, I was trained in a shark tank.
Well, I was just watching a show, one of my favorite shows. There was a segment about how typical it is family conflict to come up at Thanksgiving dinner. And I'm not going to be with my family for Thanksgiving. But, you know, it's true that certain circumstances or situations are more likely to, you know,
right,
evoke disagreements, you know, criticism of one another or whatever.
Yeah, I know families that broke up because when Thanksgiving dinner, when Trump, like some people were for against Trump, and that was the,
so true.
They still haven't recovered.
That's pretty sad. I mean, it's really sad, but you know, I used to swallow a lot of comments when I was with my family at various times because it just seemed easier than, you know, getting into it, so to speak.
Right.
There are things that I wouldn't, I think, let slide.
Uh-huh.
That I did before, but I'm also older and, you know,
right,
perhaps
wiser.
Well, more assertive, you know, that sort of thing. Oops.
Anybody have any thoughts on the material? Last word.
I just thank you, as always, for, it's like so amazing how you compile these sources and illuminate, and just amazing. Thank you.
Thanks, Sean.
Yeah.
Tamar, you've been so quiet.
Well, I actually have a situation with my neighbor.
Uh-huh.
It's so funny because you keep, you know, using neighbor, and I'm like, it really is between him and another neighbor, but I got involved, you know, and I took a position of sort of not playing for him, not to play God in someone else's life. And, and now it's 4 years later, but he's going after me. He calls the police regularly and sends dissertations because I have my dog off the leash, but I know it has nothing to do with my dog.
Uh-huh.
It has to do with me, you know, taking the side of the neighbor, and he can't stand that. It's not even that I've taken the side. I feel neutral. Like, it's not his right to judge her, and I'm not judging her for something from her past.
Uh-huh.
But now he's involved me. I've been to court twice, and he keeps capturing me, you know, on his Ring doorbell. If my dog's off leash, he sends it to the police department. And so I have to decide what, you know, to do about it. And he has heard that
your dog's like this big, isn't it?
I know. Yeah. And he's like, he runs up to people and he jumps on them. And I'm like, oh my God, he's like love incarnate. But that's my point. It's not about my dog. It's about him controlling me and her. And, and I've attempted to re-communicate with him. I'm a really good communicator, and we have communicated in the past, but now he's heard that I've used the word that I feel harassed, which I do.
Uh-huh.
And he won't talk to me. So, and the mediator, I called the county mediator, and she said, if he's not willing to talk, there's no mediation.
Uh-huh.
And you have to call the police directly. And I'm like, oh boy. It's existential.
That's what I was just going to ask, if there's some kind of community mediation or, you know, dispute resolution. But I love that you have a county mediator.
I was thinking the same thing.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I got a second name as well, and I'm going to get a second opinion just to see, you know, like if the mediator contacted him and said, you know, the community has asked for mediation, you know, but as opposed to it coming from me. But
I'm gonna jump off. I'll just throw out one kind of quick twist, and that is you may want to give him a gift.
I have thought about that. Yeah.
I mean, it hurts sometimes to do it, but it can soften the, you know, the ground.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Thank you, guys. Or at least a holiday card, you know.
And to pray for his tshuva and spiritual awakening.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can do that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hanukkah hugs, you guys.
Yeah.
Hanukkah,
Hanukkah, everyone.
All right.
Yeah. And Thanksgiving.
Take good care.
Thanksgiving. Thanks, Sari Hadid.
Take care.
Thank you.
Really my pleasure. Bye-bye.